Good morning. In Philippians 3, starting in chapter 4, we read the following. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So is Paul implying that one ought to be perfect, but that he hasn't arrived there yet? Is he dismissing all of his accomplishments and highlighting his failures? You see, Paul is stating his goal in life is not to dwell on the past, not to get stuck on what happened before, but to move forward to the greater plan that God has for him. Now, we do need to recognize our limitations and failures. I don't know if you're like me, but we all have them. We have plenty. In order to reach spiritual maturity, we have to realize this. We see this expressed in this old Hebrew prayer. It says, from the cowardice that shrinks from new truths, from the laziness that is content with half-truths, from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth, O God of truth, deliver us. You see, but besides recognizing our limitations, those who have great accomplishments face the dangers of pride and self-satisfaction. Think about Paul. Think about all that Paul could be proud about. You see, Paul could have fallen victim to this kind of thinking. Verses 4 through 6, it says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, he said, I have more. He named off the things that he could put confidence in. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, Hebrew of Hebrews, all of these things. He could have claimed those as his reason for pride. But you see, the person who sees themselves as a zero, as worthless, will do little for the Lord's cause. We need to see ourselves instead as God sees us, as a sinner that's saved by grace, a person made in the image of God and loved enough to die for. You see, Paul knew his background. He had a heritage of pride. He met all the requirements for being a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He even saw himself as blameless in keeping the commands of the old law. He said, I did everything the way I was supposed to do it. I had it all under control. But he also knew that he had a severe problem. As he told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. You see, it had taken a light from heaven, the voice of Jesus speaking to him on the road to Damascus, to open his mind to the problem. And once he saw things the way that they really were, he goes on to write in verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. So Paul says, I had all these things to my benefit, all these things that I could be proud of, but I realized that it wasn't what God wanted. It wasn't God's plan for me. All these things that I considered to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. His whole outlook changed. His eyes were open to the truth of God, and it was not the way that he thought it was before at all. Everything that seemed so important to him before was just rubbish. It was just garbage now. He He says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." And again he says, it's not a righteousness of his own, but that which comes through faith in Christ, which is from God and by faith. You see, Paul had discovered the hidden treasure, the one pearl of great price that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 13, when he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. You see, Paul describes his new perspective in different terms. No more Hebrew of Hebrews, no more circumcised on the eighth day. Instead, he says, to gain Christ, to be found in him, to know Christ, to share in his sufferings, to become like him, and so to attain to the resurrection of the dead. You see, Paul found a source of righteousness, a new source, and it was not based on his background or based on his accomplishments, but rather on faith in Christ and what he did. Jesus pointed out this difference in motivation for our actions when he said in Matthew 6, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. They blow their horn and they say, "Look, look what I'm doing. I'm giving. I'm being charitable. Can I get a round of applause?" He said, "I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." That's their reward, the applause, the adoration of men. "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." Again, the adoration that they receive from people. That's it. That's their reward. "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." You see, moving forward toward perfection, spiritual maturity, requires perseverance in the faith and putting faith into action day by day. Two signs marked the journey for Paul. His knowledge of personal limitations was one, and also his commitment to achieve the goals for which Christ had called him. So he writes in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Think of how many people use the excuse for not coming to be with a church or not coming to Christ. They say, "I'm just not good. There's so many things that I've done wrong." You see, Paul says, "I haven't obtained all this. I haven't been made perfect, but I'm pressing on. I'm trying. I'm moving forward, continually moving." You see, he experienced a struggle to become a new person in Christ, just as we do every day, as in verses 21 through 23 of Romans 7. "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." You see, Paul told the Roman Christians to find their place in the body and function to their full potential. As in Romans 12, it says, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. But to do that requires continual growth to spiritual maturity. That is why he said in Philippians 3 that he didn't consider himself to have yet taken hold of it. But he said, forgetting what is behind, again, and straining toward what is ahead, pressing toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see, he says to not be content with past accomplishments or held back by past mistakes, but to move toward the goal that has been set before us. Remember, you were bought out of the old life for a new purpose. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your body. Now, the picture that Paul is giving is one of the sports arena, where athletes strain every muscle to win the race. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. It's just temporary. It's just a crown. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So what is Paul saying? He's saying, I continually work on my own body, my own faith, my own emotions, my own actions. I continually work on them so that while I'm helping others, I myself won't forget what I'm pressing on toward, what I'm aiming for, being like Christ. So the race itself becomes part of a reward. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Even as we run the race, we find ourselves being changed into the image of Christ. Have you entered the race? Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to die for you so that you could be forgiven. He made that sacrifice. Are you striving toward perfection? We think of perfection as this ideal that no one can reach. This ideal that if I could just be perfect. But you see, Jesus reached that ideal. And what we need to do is put our trust in him and strive to be like him. That's all God asks. Strive to be like his son. Strive to follow him each and every day. Just press forward. Continually move toward him. Do you believe that he's God's son? As in John 8:24, I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. And in Luke 13:5, it says, unless you repent, you too will all perish. Will you confess the name of Christ in words and in actions? As in Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Will you be baptized, immersed in water to gain the forgiveness of your sins? As in Acts 2:38, when Peter told him to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said this was for all that the Lord our God will call. And he said to save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Will you heed that call? Are you already in the race but struggling with the past, good or bad? Are you having trouble focusing on the challenges ahead? Do you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters for the strength to recommit your life to him this morning? Whatever your need this morning, we ask that you come right now as we stand together and sing our invitation song.